Hi, Dr. Artello.
Hi, Nia.
So when we talked about cats versus the U.S., you said something interesting, that cats is important for privacy today. What did you mean by that?
Oh, Nia, that's a great question. You know, you carry a cell phone, right?
Yes. Against my will, but yes.
Are you aware that your cell phone has tracking data that shows where and when you were places by recording which cell tower your phone connects to, even if you've disabled location services mode?
No, I didn't know about the even disabling services. So that seems very big brother to me.
Yes, it is. And well, consider this question. Do the police need a search warrant to collect and analyze that data?
I would hope so.
Well, consider, who has the records? Do you have them?
No, I guess I don't.
Exactly. Congress enacted the Stored Communications Act, where law enforcement can compel cell phone companies to provide these records without meeting the standard of probable cause in a warrant application.
Whoa, so what kind of standard do they have to show?
They have to show specific and articulable facts that are reasonable grounds to believe that the contents of the records are relevant and material to an ongoing criminal investigation.
That sounds like a lot lower than the probable cause that you've talked to me about before.
You are right. This standard is significantly lower than probable cause, which requires that an affidavit establish a crime has been committed and evidence pertinent to that particular crime can be found in a specific location to be searched, as well as specifying what will be seized.
Okay, that's very different because that's a lot less specific than what you just said. Why would Congress allow that kind of search?
That is a great question, and we have to talk about the third-party doctrine.
What is the third-party doctrine?
The third-party doctrine says that when an individual voluntarily gives information to a third party, one no longer has a reasonable expectation of privacy relating to that information.
That seems huge. Like that. So, but I'm not sure I understand. Is that something like cookie? Like, can you explain that a little bit?
Certainly. And you are not alone in not getting this quite. So think of it this way. You have a checking account, right?
I do. There's not much in it, but I have like moths in about four quarters. But yes, I have a checking account.
Well, and the bank has to maintain records on your transactions to determine how many of those quarters you are paying and to whom and when.
Okay, that's fair.
Otherwise, the bank would not know how much you have access to.
All right, so I write a check for $100 to my cell company, and the bank needs to know that I have $100 in my account to cover that, or they need to charge me an abomination fee for bouncing a check. Okay, so I see that they would need to keep a running record of that.
Exactly. So they're keeping a running record of that. That is the same thing that is happening with the cell phone towers. They are keeping track of cell site location information in the very same way that you're moving through their system.
Never thought of it that way, but that makes sense. Okay.
And that is exactly what the police are thinking about. You don't have access to these records. Who has these records? The cell phone company. So it's a third party. And the cell phone company has no reasonable expectation of privacy because it's not their records. It's your records.
Ah, mind blown, mind blown. Okay, so didn't anybody object? I mean, didn't the cell company phone company say, no, I don't want to tell you that? Or do they not care? Like, didn't somebody get upset about that?
Yes, several people, especially...
I mean, besides me now?
Probably you and everyone else listening to this is now upset about this. So, well, but the ACLU and others were objecting to it because law enforcement were getting this information from cell phone companies without search warrants.
Oh, so how did it end up with the Supreme Court?
Timothy Carpenter's case was the one that brought it to the Supreme Court.
What did he do? He's a criminal, right? Wait, no, he's an alleged criminal. You have the alleged look on your face. I'm not supposed to say. What did he allegedly do?
Okay. In April 2011, four men were arrested in connection with a string of robberies of Radio Shack and T-Mobile stores.
Wait, Radio Shack?
Yes.
Really? I'm breaking into my local Radio Shack and stealing wires? Okay, whatever.
And one of these men confessed that the group was responsible for robberies and that as many as 15 other men participated in the crimes as getaway drivers and lookouts.
Holy cow, that's a lot of people. So was Timothy arrested?
Not at this point.
How'd they find him?
The guy who confessed gave the FBI his personal cell phone number and the phone numbers of the others involved.
So the guy who was arrested called Timothy?
Not quite. The FBI found him using cell site tower information to place Timothy Carpenter and Timothy Sanders, the other Timothy in this case, near two of the robberies, and they were charged with conspiracy.
Okay, that doesn't seem like a lot of evidence. I mean, you're just standing around. That doesn't seem like a lot of evidence. What did Timothy do?
So he objected to the use of these records since they weren't obtained with a warrant. And the trial court allowed the records to be used, and the Sixth Circuit Court upheld their use.
So this is how we get to the Supremes.
That is. You're right. And in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court stated that the police must obtain a warrant for such records. Chief Justice Roberts, who wrote the majority, based his opinion on Katz and reinforced that the Fourth Amendment protects not only property interests, but also reasonable expectations of privacy. And he acknowledges that the ability of the government to track individuals' movements is very intrusive, especially in the digital age, where prior precedents may not have had any way to imagine what we have today.
Well, George Orwell did, with Big Brother.
Yes, it is. And the majority also stated that it is not going to extend the third-party doctrine to cell site information location, which implicates even greater privacy concerns than GPS tracking does.
Were there dissenting opinions?
Oh, yes, there were.
What was their reasoning?
So Kennedy said that the cell site records were no different than many other kinds of business records, and the government has a lawful right to obtain them by a compulsory process.
Did the majority have a response to that?
Yes, they did. Roberts said third-party doctrine applies to voluntary exposure. And while a user might abstractly be aware that his cell phone provider keeps logs, it happens without any affirmative act on the user's part. Additionally, this level of intrusion is extensive in these types of documents.
Did the dissent have any other points?
Well, Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch also lamented the loss of the Fourth Amendment's application to property only. They really want to go back to the Olmstead.
Yeah,
standard.
They should be welcomed here in our current generation, some 80 years later or 100 years later or whatever. But that would be scary in our modern world. I mean, we live in a world of incredible amounts of information.
Yes, that's collected many times without our knowledge.
Yeah, well, I mean, constantly. Like mm-hmm. Google tracks you across the internet so that it can give you ads, so that it can do other mm-hmm. ones, give you, so that it can place ads mm-hmm. to you to try to get you to buy stuff and all kinds of stuff like that. It's all scary.
Yes, and it would allow for, underneath the Olmstead standard, it would allow for greater surveillance by the state with very little recourse by the citizens.
Yeah, that's not good. I'm voting against that if I get a vote, which I don't because I'm not on the Supreme Court. But, I mean, I don't think that we should go back to a lesser standard. We should stick at a better standard. Mm-hmm. So what happened to our Mr. Carpenter?
So his conviction was reversed and remanded to the Sixth Court.
Good. So he went free.
No, he's serving a life sentence.
Well, how can that be?
When the Sixth Circuit reviewed the case, they found that the police acted in good faith based on the prior law, and therefore the court did not err in admitting the cell phone records. Consequently, Timothy is going to jail for 116 years.
116? That's a lot. Okay, see, that doesn't sound right to me. In good faith?
Nia, we will talk about the good faith exception in the Leon v. U.S. case, but not today.
Oh, okay, so another cliffhanger for me. I kind of feel bad for him because, I mean, I guess what they're saying is yeah, we've made this new standard, but you were arrested under the old standard, and the old standard should still hold in your case. Sucks to be you, which isn't, I mean, it kind of feels bad. I feel bad for the guy. But can you brief the case for us?
Certainly. In April 2011, police arrested four men in connection with a series of armed robberies. One of the men confessed to the crimes and gave the FBI his cell phone number and the numbers of other participants. The FBI used this information to apply for three orders from a magistrate judge to obtain transactional records for each of the phone numbers, which the judge granted under the Stored Communications Act. That act provides that the government may require disclosure of certain telecommunication records when specific and articulable facts show that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the contents are relevant and material to an ongoing criminal investigation. The transaction records obtained by the government include date and time of calls and approximate location where the calls began and ended based on their connection to cell towers. This is what's called cell site location information. Based on this evidence, the government charged Timothy Carter with, among other offenses, aiding and abetting robbery that affected interstate commerce. Carpenter moved to suppress the government's evidence under the Fourth Amendment grounds, arguing the FBI needed a warrant on probable cause to obtain the records. The district court denied the motion to suppress, and the Sixth Circuit affirmed. The issue before the Supreme Court was, does the warrantless search and seizure of cell phone records, which include the location and movement of cell phone users, violate the Fourth Amendment? The court, in a 5-4 decision, found that the government's warrantless acquisition of Carpenter's cell site records violated his Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable search and seizures. Chief Justice Roberts reinforced the Katz ruling that Fourth Amendment protects not only property rights, but a reasonable expectation of privacy, and the digital age has provided new and more intrusive means for government surveillance, and the law needs to be watchful to protect Fourth Amendment rights in this aspect. The court narrowly held that the government generally will need a warrant to access cell site information. The dissent focused keeping the third-party doctrine intact, and the Fourth Amendment was to protect property interests only.
Okay. Thank you.